Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox, a podcast where we get to enjoy information presented by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox on a regular basis. Tonight's broadcast is an encore presentation from 2014, where she discussed the nature, the pagan roots of Christmas.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we explore the pagan origins of Christmas customs and traditions. I begin with a poem that I wrote 20 years ago in 1994 for our public winter solstice celebration in Madison, Wisconsin. I call it Saturnalia Poem. It is the middle of December. The nights are longer. The weather is colder. Winter comes. Celebration is at hand. Renewing bonds of friendship. Visiting with family and friends. Exchanging gifts with loved ones. Candles, dolls, cookies, sweets, holly, wreaths of green, surprises. Courts close, battles stop. Time off from school and work. Holiday break. Singing, dancing, games, merrymaking. Food, lots of food and drink. Great feasts and parties. To celebrate the sun, the land, the ancient ones, the great circle of nature. To welcome in the winter and the new year. To bring forth renewal, peace, and joy. Solstice present, solstice past. This is the legacy of Saturnalia, week-long pagan winter solstice festival of ancient Rome. Saturnalia, your spirit and these traditions live on in the world today, in Christmas feasts and New Year's parties, in our winter solstice celebrations. Bless our connection with the ancients. Bless our connection with each other. Bless our connection with future generations. We rejoice. Yo, Saturnalia! Yo, Saturnalia! Yo, Saturnalia! Saturnalia was one of a number of festivals celebrated by pagan peoples in different parts of Europe in antiquity. It was celebrated for only a few days for part of the time in old Rome, but as it evolved, it became a week-long festival, sometimes even longer. It started on December 17th, the feast of Saturn, god of agriculture, of abundance, of the fields. Also in the Saturnalia, there was an honoring of Ops, his partner, goddess of plenty, the goddess who gives her name to the word opulent. Her festival time within the week-long Saturnalia was on December 19th, and as the festival expanded, 19th and 20th. There would be feasting every night. There was gift giving. There was decorations of public spaces and private homes, as well as temples with greenery. Many of the customs that are called Christmas customs today have their origins with the winter solstice festivities of ancient Rome. The Saturnalia and a month-long gathering that began in late November, which also celebrated Dionysus in its Greek form, or Bacchus, god of wine, and the vines in the Roman form. So in late November, the festival of Brumalia would begin, and it would go right into the Saturnalia. That's not unlike what some people will call the Christmas season in contemporary America, getting its official launch on Thanksgiving, which is the fourth Thursday in November, and continuing on through the month of December for many people, and even going into the early part of January. The idea of celebrating during the winter time as it comes on is something quite ancient. Saturnalia also had as a companion festival the festival of the unconquered sun, Sol, meaning sun, Invictus, unconquered. This was celebrated on December 25th. Scholars are continuing to have some debate about how long Sol, the sun, was honored on that particular date. We know that Sol, the sun god, was amongst the many deities honored in ancient Rome and throughout the Roman Empire. We do know that as Christianity started taking hold in old Rome, after being persecuted and then eventually becoming the state religion in the Common Era at 380, that the date for the birth of Jesus was fixed to December 25th. The earliest record of that came from a reference 336 Common Era. Why was Jesus' birthday not celebrated for more than 300 years after he was supposedly born. Back in that time, birthdays really weren't celebrated as we do today in America and many other parts of the world. So the idea of having a birthday celebration for Jesus, the sun child, was not part of the very first centuries of Christianity. Was Jesus born on December 25th? Probably not. Most scholars say that he was likely born in the spring. Some say possibly the fall. The fact is, at this point, there is no written record of when he was born. In fact, even the date, the year of his birth, is still debated, and was likely born several years before the Common Era actually began. There's a lot of speculation as to why his birthday got fixed on December 25th. Most say it had to do with the fact that the celebration of Saturnalia was very much hardwired into Roman society. And as Rome started embracing Christianity, it made sense to have a festival time that brought family and friends together also be a time of celebration during Christianity. So the birthday of Jesus as December 25th is really a result of pagan celebrations happening at winter solstice time in old Rome. Not only in the Roman Empire were there these celebrations, but in parts that weren't officially part of the Roman Empire, parts of Germany, Scandinavia, there were also midwinter festivals. And these festivals, too, have contributed to what people call the celebration of Christmas today. Yule, Scandinavia and in Germany, was the midwinter festival. Some say it lasted 12 days and nights, and that is an inspiration for the 12 days of Christmas. Although for Germans and those in Scandinavia, it actually, the 12 days started at solstice time. The Celtic peoples also honored midwinter. While their primary festivals were at Samhain and at Beltane, there are tales and some references to the midwinter festival, which would be winter solstice, being an important time, especially to do a sacred harvest of mistletoe. Mistletoe growing on the mighty oak, especially treasured. It's part of old Druid lore, and it's part of contemporary Druid lore. And other parts of the world as well had winter solstice celebrations and continued to do so. And as we increasingly become a global people because of our interconnection with travel, with the distribution of the written word, and through cyberspace, email and social media and podcasting as we are doing now, one of the great things about this great sharing of connections and information is we really can get a much better look at the diversity of celebrations amongst humankind in the ancient past, the more recent past, the present, as we plan for the future. I'd like to share some so-called Christmas traditions that really began as solstice, winter solstice traditions. In addition to the timing, we also have the name Yule, which was the name of the midwinter festival for people who would be calling themselves today heathen or northern way. In fact, in many places in Scandinavia, the greeting is not Merry Christmas, but Good Yule. And Yule is said to have come from the word meaning wheel and represents the wheel of the year. And in working with the sun wheel, it is the beginning of the solar year. The days are the shortest, the nights are the longest, and coming out of that is the promise of the growth of light and warmer times to come. Lights and sunlight, long-standing winter solstice traditions in many places, kindling of lights, hearth fires, bonfires, the burning of candles and lamps, the burning of the Yule log amongst those celebrating Yule in Germany and Scandinavia. For some people celebrating Christmas, they consider the burning of the Yule log an important Christmas custom. But the actual tradition is much older than the emergence of Christmas as a Christian festival 300 years after Jesus was said to have been born. Many people will use the term Yule as a greeting because it embodies the diversity of pagan and Christian, of solstice and Christmas. And one of the things about the work with light and the tracking of sunlight, the amount of daylight as part of a Christmas and solstice tradition, is that in the darkest time of year, it's important to give one's soul a boost. Physiological changes can happen within the human body and psyche. Seasonal affective disorder is a name that has been given to this condition that persists in some people, also known as the winter blues. The lack of visible daylight can cause someone to feel depressed, down in the dumps, moody. So one of the important things in the northern climes, especially for winter solstice, is to have plenty of light and joy to actually get together with others to chase away the blues and to fill the long dark nights with some warmth and comfort and fun. In contemporary times, the tradition of light has expanded. LED lights, other types of electric lights now decorate homes, public square, places of work, places of worship across different faith traditions that seek to be part of this grand celebration of light. The lights may have spiritual underpinning in paganism with the solstice and with Christianity's Christmas, but there's also a secular dimension as well and a scientific dimension. As we go into winter solstice, the days get the shortest. On the actual winter solstice day, the amount of sunlight is the shortest of the whole year. But there's another interplay that happens in relationship with light, and that has to do with the rising and the setting of the sun. Indeed, the name solstice itself, meaning sun, stand still, comes from observations of sunrise on the horizon over the course of a year. As winter solstice approaches, it goes increasingly more in a southerly direction and then gets to its most southern point for several days in a row, and the sun rises in that same place for several days in a row. And that is the solstice. Some say that December 25th is honored as part of this tracking because on December 25th is the first day that the sun starts rising a bit to the north again. But there's another aspect of sunrise and sunset that figures into the dynamics with lights. While the shortest day of the year is on solstice, usually December 21st, sometimes it's earlier, the 20th, or later, 22nd, 23rd. But in addition to that shortest day, we also need to pay attention to when the sun rises. And actually, for more days than solstice, the sun rises later and later in the morning. Yes, it's setting earlier and earlier in the evening, which does give us lengthening days, or it's setting later and later in the evening, which is giving us lengthening days as we move into the next turning of the pagan wheel, Imbolc. And indeed, by the time Imbolc comes, it's really noticeable that the days are much longer. But it's after the first of the year that you really start getting a sense that that lengthening day is starting to happen. The sun setting the latest is actually happening closer to December 10th, before the solstice, and the sun rising the latest actually happens that first week in January. So as one is at solstice time, even though the days are starting to get longer, if you get up and do sunrise rituals, you have to wait a few more minutes every day until you get into early January, and then you start having the sun rise earlier and earlier. There's a long explanation about this, but let me suffice it to say it has to do with the Earth's tilt on its axis, the variations in solar day. 24 hours is the average of a solar day, but there are fluctuations not only due to the amount of tilt of the Earth, but also its rotation and its speed of rotation. So as we look at the tradition of kindling fire and other kinds of lights for solstice and for Christmas and for the holidays time, it's a wonderful way, a time-honored way of being able to lighten ourselves up psychologically, spiritually, and to imitate what's happening in nature. Another important tradition that has its roots amongst the ancient pagan solstice celebrations is that of holiday greenery. The holly was an important plant in the Saturnalia. It was sacred to Saturn. People would exchange sprigs of holly. The ivy, another plant going back to the Saturnalia. Mistletoe, not only figuring into the Roman celebrations of winter, but the Greek and the Nordic and the Celtic. Having greens, evergreens, brought into a dwelling, into homes, into places of business, into temples, having greens used to decorate both interior and exterior of places is an ancient pagan custom. And most who talk about the use of evergreens have to acknowledge the fact that people were doing that for solstice long before the Christmas wreath. There were solstice wreaths. Long before there were Christmas garlands, there were solstice garlands. In addition to greenery, there's the tradition of feasting and making merry. We know that with the Saturnalia in Old Rome, the banqueting goes back at least as far back as 217 before the Common Era. That's an early reference to the feasting of Saturnalia. And other pagans were also feasting in connection with the coming of winter. Especially in the northern climes, this was important. It was important to get lots of stores of food put away before the snows came. And those who kept cattle and other livestock, not only is meat needed for the winter time before the growing season began, but by culling the herds, then not so much food was needed to keep the livestock alive during the winter time. So there was abundant meat, abundant grains, abundant drink, and it was also time off from most agricultural duties. So it was a time to be able to relax and to gather. And when you were in an era where you pretty much relied on solar illumination for work and doing a lot of productivity, well, the winter time, there wasn't much light. So you would hole up with family and friends, mead halls, longhouses, many different kinds of structures people would have for their gathering places. And there would be wonderful feasting, making merry. So part of the merrymaking, doing games, sometimes there was masquerade, singing, most certainly, dancing, and much laughter. And yes, in many societies, amongst many people, there was definitely inebriation going on. How does that translate into Christmas in more recent times? Yes, there's the holiday parties at many people's workplaces. There's merrymaking as part of Christmas celebrations, especially secular ones, and merrymaking extending into the new calendar year as the traditions of merrymaking of the new solar year were transported into more recent times. Another important tradition is that of generosity and charity. Before the story of Saint Nicholas, the Christian saint, Bishop of Myrna in Turkey, and the gold coins that he cast into a home in need of economic resources to protect the young girls in the home. There was generosity and sharing with others less fortunate in a number of pagan societies. And there was also a turning of the tables, role reversals, making fun. People who were in charge waited on the people who had been waiting on them in old Rome. And there were many other ways of connecting and having some change in social structure at this time of year, a kind of social release time. And we have to look at a tradition that continues to happen in Christmas celebrations today in America and some other parts of the world, is time off from work. Certainly amongst the Romans and amongst heathens and Celts, multiple days and nights, but Christmas Day and for some people Christmas Eve are holidays that often workplaces are closed, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So taking time off from work, businesses closing, schools closing, and another important tradition that's long standing with winter solstice is that of peacemaking. Even in a society such as Rome that was well known for its military might, there was a focus on ceasing war. for the Saturnalia, for this solstice time. And courts would close, so legal battles. In addition to these traditions, there is that of gift giving. And in the Saturnalia, gifts may be given every day of the festival. Sometimes the gifts were of food, and sometimes candles representing light. Dolls, sigillaria, were given, a lot of different types of small gifts were exchanged during the Saturnalia and in some other festivals as well. Some of the Christian Christmas figures that are considered Christian really have their roots in pagan solstice traditions as well. Lucia, Santa Lucia, a Christian saint honored in Italy, Sicily, Sweden, some parts of Scandinavia, has her origins as a sun goddess. A sun goddess in old Rome, a sun goddess in old Sweden and Scandinavia. Indeed, in Lutheran churches in Sweden and Denmark and Finland, some other parts of Scandinavia, Norway as well, the Santa Lucia or Saint Lucy time has a young woman dressed all in white with a red sash, and on her head is a crown of candles. Traditionally, the candles have living flames. In more recent times, battery-operated candles have been adopted as being a safer alternative. But she literally is the sun goddess in procession. And who's in her entourage? You have the Yule Bock. And what is a Yule Bock but the Yule Goat, connected with Thor, the pagan god Thor. And you would have star boys, also dressed in white, young boys carrying stars. And you'd have the Tomten, or in Norway they're called Nissa. Scandinavian nature spirits, gnome-like in appearance, often with pointy red hats, sometimes dressed in green and other colors. So you would have Lucy, Saint Lucy, with a whole entourage reflecting her pagan origins. Pagans today are claiming Lucia, Lucina, in old Rome, Lucina, a different goddess but kind of merged with Lucy, the goddess of childbirth, the goddess of light. And there are many pagan groups today that are really keeping alive the pagan origins of this Yuletide character and gift bringer. Of course, there's Santa, Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, Center Claus, Kris Kringle, Christkind, many different variations of the name, and Father Christmas, who actually has more of its connections with the Lord of Misrule from the Saturnalia, and rather than bearing gifts for children, was very much an adult rebel facilitator. It's only been in more recent centuries that Father Christmas has merged with Santa and done the gift giving for young people in particular. So Santa is more than a Christian saint. indeed, as Santa's persona has evolved across cultures, across the ages, across national boundaries, he is now a very well-known Yuletide gift bringer, typically dressed all in red with a big black belt with a gold buckle and white fur trimmed jacket and hat and pants, big black boots. His figure has morphed and changed across time, but he's much more elf-like, chubby elf-like, magical being-like, rather than a more austere but generous Christian bishop from the Middle East. I see Santa as an international, multilingual, multi-religious, multicultural Yuletide figure, and he combines both pagan and Christian elements in his lore today. There are some other figures that are connected with Yuletide celebrations in different parts of the world. In Austria, Santa often is accompanied by the Krampus. Now, the Krampus, you might call the enforcer. Typically a menacing-looking wild creature with horns, sometimes big curved horns of an alpine goat, sometimes ram's horns. Takes different forms depending on where in Austria and some other parts of Europe where the Krampus figure makes an appearance. Indeed, Santa comes forth to give gifts to children who have been nice, and Krampus to give corrective feedback to those who are naughty. Some communities in the Alps will have huge processions. St. Nicholas may be part of the processions, but they're huge Krampus festivals and processions as the Yuletide and Christmas holidays draw near. Krampus really embodies more than what some people call kind of a Christian devil version. That's really not accurate, although certainly I can see why some people might draw the conclusions having immersed oneself in that aspect of Christian interpretation of ways of being. But essentially, the Krampus has embodied in the character the wild man of the woods, of wild places. So it's a much more ancient, animalistic dynamic rooted in shamanic traditions of alpine regions rather than being an embodiment of evil. Fierce, menacing, scary, yes, but no more than some wild beast that's a carnivore. We have to also look for Yuletide figures that blend the pagan and the Christian, solstice and Christmas, Befana or Le Befana. In Italy, yes, she is a gift-giving witch. And she rides on a broom and carries with her a bag of toys to give to good girls and boys. She is another a gift bringer connected with this time. Now, depending on who you talk with and where that person is, Befana may come on her night, which is Befana's night, usually January 5th, Epiphany Eve. But sometimes some pagans who are reconstructing Italian paganism and craft will have her connected with solstice events or even Christmas events. In Italy, her biggest night, though, is January 5th, and sometimes she's also celebrated on the 6th, Epiphany itself. Those are just some of the Yuletide characters that have pagan elements as well as Christian ones. Santa embodies Odin and Thor. Odin had an eight-legged horse named Sleipnir rather than eight reindeer. And Holda, the Germanic mother goddess, who actually has morphed in some parts of lore to Mother Goose. She was a night-riding goddess at winter solstice time, and just as Odin was, she was connected with the wild hunt. So there are many Yuletide figures that also blend together some old pagan solstice traditions with that of Christmas. And now I'd like to talk a bit about Christmas traditions that are their own thing, but have actually incorporated with intention, perhaps, or intuitively, pagan survivals. The carol, the Christmas carol, Deck the Halls, an old Welsh carol. See before us the Yule log blazing is part of that song. Strike the harp, join the chorus, deck the halls with boughs of holly. And the fa-la-la-la-la is definitely making merry. So you actually have a pagan carol that's known as a Christmas carol. And we have a couple pieces of literature that have pagan elements in it. A Visit from St. Nicholas, better known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, written in 1822 by Clement Moore. And here Santa starts morphing into an elf and being a night rider in a sleigh and going down chimneys. So St. Nicholas actually became more paganized with 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And we also have to look at The Christmas Carol by Dickens in 1843 that came into being. And The Christmas Carol is certainly using the word Christmas throughout. But if you look at the depictions of the three spirits that visit Scrooge, you will see connections with old pagan deity forms. In the movies that were made in the 20th century and continue to be shared every Yuletide, solstice time, Christmas time, the ghost of Christmas present is a Saturn character. Large, jolly, abundant food. He is the embodiment of Saturnalia. And I enjoy the Christmas carol and seeing a real good diversity of holiday traditions with a message that's timeless about generosity and keeping the holiday time. We also have to look at the Yule tree, which actually has been more recently popularized compared to the thousands of years that solstice has been celebrated. It really started coming into its own during the Victorian era in Old England. Prince Albert, who married Queen Victoria, was German. There had been Yule tree traditions in Germany going back to old, old times. Certainly in old pagan times, the trees were revered and used in rituals, not just during winter time, but throughout the year. The whole idea of actually cutting a tree down and moving it into a building, some say Martin Luther came up with that. Other people say it was merchants in Latvia putting a big Yule tree in the middle of the public square. There's a lot of debate about where that custom of cutting a tree down, a whole tree down, and bringing it into a home. But regardless, we do know that in the middle of the 1800s, it became a trend in England and then in the United States and other parts of the world. It's a custom that I keep myself. I call our tree a Yule tree rather than a solstice tree or a Christmas tree, a Yule tree, because it does embody both Christian and pagan December holiday traditions in the Northern Hemisphere. In conclusion, I share this information about the pagan roots of Christmas for several reasons. One is, as part of diversity education at this time of year, we really need to look at the holiday season as being much more diverse than often it is depicted. I also think it's important to look to the past and find ways of being able to celebrate more than just one day. So I would recommend that we all consider whatever our personal spiritual path may be and celebrate the Yuletide over several days and nights, if not the whole month. And the final reason for sharing this is that increasingly our family systems, our friend networks, have people of different faith traditions, of different cultures and traditions. And I think that by expanding our knowledge of how traditions have grown and evolved over time, that we can come up with celebrations that honor that diversity and truly keep the peace that's been solstice peace and Christmas peace as part of the spirit of this time of year for many years, and may it continue. I conclude tonight's show with a Yuletide blessing that I shared in connection with a Yule event we did in 2009. As we celebrate this holiday's time with lights, songs, gifts, evergreens, and other folkways of our ancestors of many lands, let us remember the ancient and sacred spirit of winter solstice, that of renewal, peace, and interconnectedness. As the days grow longer again, and we embrace winter and the new calendar year, let us kindle within ourselves a deeper awareness of the divine circle of nature of which we are all part. Let us celebrate our relationships with our families, friends, communities, cultures, all of nature, and the divine as unity and as multiplicity. May we be filled with joy, love, and harmony, and the spirit of Yuletide shine within and around us throughout the year, as the wheel of the seasons continue to turn. Blessed be, good Yule, Merry Solstice, Yo Saturnalia, Merry Christmas, good Hogmanay, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. So mote it be.
www.circlesanctuary.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSN podcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.